Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Hello there, avid podcast listener. I know you enjoy the delicious sounds of Tim's voice in your ear holes during these podcasts, but have you considered taking some time to go check out his stream at fb.gg/darkness429 lately? Have you thought about it? Let me explain why you should. Not only will you be able to join the cult community, but you will be able to enjoy staring at Tim's meat every time he shows it on stream. Because he just incessantly shows his meat. This deliciously smoked meat. It's incredible, and it's better to watch it live. So give him all your stars. fb.gg/darkness429.
Check, check, check. Mic check. Hey, Kevin, say something. Perfect. It's just me on the track, not you.
Hitting record again. Now I'm nervous. You say something.
Hello.
We're fine. We're good.
I'm warming up my mouth and my voice.
Do you do this before stream every morning?
I do. So actually, when the intro is running, I go, but I mute my mic, but I'm just like, yeah, it's me.
I love that.
That whole 2 minute like intro is me warming up my voice to make sure I don't go Facebook. Yeah.
I love that.
Cause that's happened before. This is the intro to the podcast, isn't it?
I love it.
This is totally the intro of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, we have to do the countdown. So welcome to. All right, they're going to... Now you're caught.
Kevin, I think I'm going to throw up. Okay, we're good. It was just fun. We're good.
It worked too well. Welcome to episode 56 of Star Wars and Scotch. We have to do the countdown, though.
Yeah. Okay, let's do the countdown and then a proper intro. So, Mac...
No, this is the intro this week. We're doing the cold intro.
This is why Hyperspace Podcast is more popular than us.
But this is why we have that charm and je ne sais quoi about us.
Why I listen to other Star Wars podcasts. I'm like, these guys are professional. Three, two, one.
So before we started... I sent Tim an article and he was listening to the folks over at Hyperspace Podcast, and he was like, Kevin, they have an intro song. It's so professional. Wow, this is amazing. And then we just cold introed this one. I can't believe we cold introed this so terribly. So the dichotomy here is just fantastic and I'm enjoying it.
Are we really going to put this up on Spotify?
100%.
We're like the Rebel Alliance. We are the scum and villainy of the galaxy.
We are the men on the ship being choked by Vader at the end of Rogue One podcast. That's us. That's me and Tim.
I'm not sure where we're going with this analogy, but all right, I'll take it.
I'm talking like the lowest of the low on the Rebel scale.
Although I thought you just meant guys just getting choked out.
They were, but if you're into that, that's fine. Welcome to Star Wars and Scotch. What are you drinking, Tim? What flavor?
Not Scotch. This is, I'm drinking some King's Coast coffee, of course. And this is the Dawn Patrol.
Oh, I am drinking our good friend Trevor May and his blend.
Oh, I actually talked to Trevor yesterday.
Is he a happy man now that baseball's over?
I asked him how baseball's doing.
Oh, Tim.
I asked. I was like, Trevor. Okay, I didn't ask him personally that. Trevor goes, I'm going to go stream. I'm going to start the stream. I'm like, oh, cool, cool, cool. And he's like, I'm going to be gone for a little bit because I haven't streamed in a while, so I'm going to talk to chat. And I was like, how quick before someone asks how baseball's going? And he just goes,
no.
Thanks.
See, that hurts me equally because I'm a Met fan. So you asked him, I would yell about Trevor all year. I'd be like, and then Trevor blew the star at the gym in the morning. It was great.
I just yelled. I just said, go, Trevor.
Yeah, that whenever the Mets were on at my house or we'd be at a bar or something, Tim would be like, go, Trevor. He's not in the game. Doesn't matter. When we were in New York.
He could be out in the pits, in the stands. I don't care where he is.
He's bullpen?
Yeah, that.
Not the pit. You literally summoned him that one game when we were in New York for Kings Coast. And it was on at the hotel bar. Oh, yeah. You were like, Trevor. And then the next inning, Trevor! He comes trotting out.
Trevor just walks onto the field. Oh, man. Anyways, KingsCoastCoffee.com. Head on over to Kings Coast Coffee. Get yourself some Trevor Mayday roast or a Dawn Patrol. They're delicious. You can't go wrong. Honestly, with the multitude of coffee that is at your disposal over at KingsCoastCoffee.com, you can't have a bad cup of coffee. Guaranteed. Nope. Unless, you know what? You could probably do that with espresso. You could probably put an entire, you know, you could do like a Countach. You know, or you could put a bow breaker in there in your coffee machine, and I guarantee you it'll still taste great. Wayne will be mad that you did it, but it'll still taste great.
Oh, no. Tim. Oh, my God.
What?
I just got an email. Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser early bookings launched today. As a valued annual pass holder, you have the opportunity to book your adventure today for Voyages Martin. I have to do this. Can I do this?
No, you don't want to do that.
I'm doing it right now for you, me, and Ben.
Wait.
I can't click it yet.
The three of us are going to stay on a cruise ship?
Do you have a better plan?
I just figured it was stupid expensive and we wouldn't want to go do this.
It's for the vlog.
Oh, it's a business write-off. Nice. Yeah. Woohoo!
Oh, my. Am I able to book this right now? Yeah, it is now because I'm live booking. Oh, I can't click it yet. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. This entire episode could be Kevin's experience of trying to get onto the cruise ship.
Oh, I guess it's not open yet. Check availability here and then call. Oh, I have to call with the booking code. Should we stop the show so I can call?
Sure. Why the fuck not, Kevin? You know what? Yeah, let's just stop it.
No. I'll call afterwards. There's plenty of open spots. It's for pass holders only. I'm going to book this today. I'm doing it. Are you okay with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin, does a bear poop in the woods? Is the Pope Catholic?
I'm just making sure. We got to text Ben.
You know,
there's
a fat kid love eating cake? Yes, Kevin.
I'm going to text Ben. Ben, hold on. I will read while I text.
Man, this show is just, we should start from the beginning.
I can book Galactic Star Cruiser early because I'm a pass holder.
I like how he rubs it in my face. I'm a pass holder.
For you, me, and Tim for the vlog. Okay. You're benefiting from the fact that I'm still a pass holder.
Yeah, no, I'm getting my tickets this week, Kevin.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Okay, can we start from the beginning?
I have to call that number later. I just got that email right now, too.
Yeah, I think that's hot.
I feel like the mouse planned that one out. They were like, okay, send it now.
Yeah, we can add that. We can just add that into the... And Kevin got an email.
All right. While that distracted me, well, let's segue straight into the Galactic Star Cruiser. They announced that folks will be able to start booking by the end of the month. But apparently, pass holders can book early with this code. So I'm going to do that. There's a ton of availability, so I'm not really worried, Tim. I just looked at it, so we can wait till the end of the show.
Have fun editing this one, Max.
Oh, no. He's leaving this all in. This is organic, good, green material. So they released the floor plan of the ship today, earlier this week. I think it was leaked. I don't think it was released, to tell you the truth. So we have the... Are you ready? We have the bridge, which they said will be interactive. We have the launch pod deck. I'm going to assume that is either how you get in and or out.
Yeah, yeah, it's a dock. So I would assume that's where you come in and out.
Concierge. Atrium will probably just be awesome.
Oh, Kevin, do you see what's there? The Chandrilla collection?
I have a feeling that's a store.
But the Chandrilla collection? Huh? We've heard that name a lot, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Sublight Lounge, which I'm assuming is a bar and restaurant. They have bathrooms, so that's good. I love that the elevators are called turbo lifts.
As they should be.
Oh, I love it. Crown of Corellia dining room. Cargo hold engineering room. Are these like available to the, I'm assuming these red blocks. I'm on deck 4F, by the way. There is a brig. There's a brig, Tim.
No way. Is
there
really
a brig?
Kevin, can we, oh, there's not a lot of cabins.
No, it's very small. It's a personalized experience.
So you've got, okay, so you've got deck 4, and that has rooms 1. So it starts off with 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so 4-123, 4-11, 4-101.
We also don't know, Tim, we don't know if there's other decks, because if you see, it's 4A, 5, and 7. We don't know if there's a 6. We don't know if there's other decks.
Oh, it looks like the deck. Well, deck 4 goes pretty far. So, and then deck 5 is another cabins, and then deck 7 is more cabins. So there's 3. So on this map, there's 3 floors for cabins. And inside the cabins, it looks like, how many rooms you got there, Kevin?
We got 14 per block.
So 14, 2, 3,
28,
4, 5, 6,
42.
So it's 9 times 14 is going to be, hold on, I got this. It's 146. 146 rooms.
That's right? My math checks out with you on that one. Yeah, and you can see the larger one on deck 7. See it? The suite.
Oh, I forgot about the big boy rooms.
Yeah, deck 7 all the way to the right.
Sorry, it's 100. Did I say 126?
You said 146.
Sorry, 126. 9 times 14 is 126.
Yeah, because the bigger rooms cut off, so they're not the same amount on each floor. But yeah, see the on deck 7?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at those big rooms. Those guys are big.
Those are the suites. Those are like $6,000 a night per person.
Ooh, those are, that's nasty. Okay, so where's this brig at?
Go to deck 4F.
Uh-huh.
Underneath the engineering room, the line that goes out, and it's,
yeah,
says brig.
So Chad, it looks like a lot of chat listeners, people, the wonderful people who are listening to this. So a lot of the, you can't see this, so just imagine the front of the ship, the nose, like where a lot of, like in any Star Wars cruiser, of any like large cruiser stuff, a lot of the stuff happens in the front part of the ship. A lot of the back, a lot of the stuff that happens in the back end, especially like within like the within the Republic, a lot of the main stuff happens in the front, and then like always those ships have like massive engines in the rear, to get them from one end of the galaxy to the other, of course, like, you know, because they have to go from the outer rim all the way to the core worlds and back and forth. So long haul cruisers have these massive engines. And so a lot of the stuff that's happening on the quote unquote cruiser is all happening within the front of the ship. All of the entertainment and everything looks like multiple layers. So we've got three levels, if you will, that you are allowed to go up and down on. And then all of the cabins are kind of pushed off into the middle of quote unquote the ship, and then it looks like there's nothing else past the cabins. So this will be, and so if we have 126 rooms,
mm-hmm,
figure you've got 2 people per room, right? So you, now you're at,
well,
60,
no.
So now you got what, 63 people on the ship?
No, because keep in mind the rooms are like king or queen bed, and then there's bunk beds for kids in a lot of the rooms.
So what do you want to say, on average 4 people per party?
2 to 4 per, so say 3 per is probably the safe bet.
So that means that it means a little. So anywhere between 40 to 60 people on the ship at any time. So you are going to see the same 60 people for 2 days on this ship. That's really interesting. Like, honestly, that makes me feel really, well, one, it makes me feel safer knowing that, you know, it won't be like among like 1,000 people. And like in like a, like you would like on a Royal Caribbean cruise or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually, and like the spacing with all of the places you can go to, the dining rooms, the engineering rooms, the bridge, the sublight lounge, like there's the atrium. There's a lot of places that you can go and hang out in, but I would assume they're going to want you to get off the ship and into the park as much as they want you on the ship, right?
You can go to Batu. So, I mean, they're not going to stop
you. Can you just get off whenever you want?
No, there's times. If you look at the official website.
Last time we talked about this, we looked at the scheduling, and they actually have like the full 2-day schedule out. And there were times of like coming to Blackspire Outpost, quote unquote, and getting off and going and exploring. But that's going to, like, honestly, for me, that's kind of restrictive. But I have to remind myself that you're going in with the mindset of LARPing. You're essentially live action role playing for 2 days straight.
You're not going to Disney. You're going to Galactic Star Cruiser. Disney's a bonus of it.
Right.
And you have to understand that. And again, we've discussed this. The whole purpose of this is a portion of your vacation. If you live locally, obviously, like we do, it's much different.
Yeah.
But if you're coming from out of town, this is a portion of your vacation. You don't stay in a themed hotel like you do with the rest of Disney. You're not staying at Wilderness Lodge or Animal Kingdom Lodge, you know, where the giraffes come up to you every morning. No, this is really a 2-day experience or it ends early on day 3. So I'm saying 2 full day experience.
Right.
That you are specifically attending for this purpose of, like Tim said, LARPing. The first day, again, you want me to link you the schedule again just so you have it in front?
Yeah, you can read through it. Yeah, go for it.
It launched 1 p.m. on arrival, launched the Star Cruiser by 1:30, orientation, light refreshments, sabacc lessons start at 3:30.
Can we go back to ship orientation? So you've gone on a cruise, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know how, like, whenever you get on the ship and the first, like, hour you're there, it's always, like, refreshments and, like, oh, hi, welcome, you're great, here's your room. And then it's just like, boop, boop, boop.
Attention, attention.
Do you think they're going to do the whole, like, lifeboats and, like,
in case of Imperial takeover or pirates?
Like, do you think they're going to do any of that?
I think they'll do the actual safety precautions and completely dress it up as Star Wars.
Oh, my God. Because, like, we're on land. Like, I can understand, like, actually teaching people, like, when you're on a cruise ship, how to, like, just like when you're in an airplane, like, how to put on your life vest and, like, all that stuff. But, like, we're in a building. It's not a real ship. So, like,
you ever think by the end of this century we'll be dead and gone, that they will actually they'll be actually taking this out to space and doing like a Star Cruiser?
The first space hotel is scheduled to open 2025.
I know, that's what,
like,
I mean.
The thought of actually going on like a space cruise in our lifetime really isn't that far off.
But a Star Wars themed space cruise.
Yeah,
ship.
Okay, like a Star Wars. Okay, like a Star Wars space themed cruise ship is one thing. But I mean, like, to actually go like on a space cruise, like, that idea isn't that crazy far fetched now, which is nuts.
It sounds so fun, but at the same time, it's, if you take a cruise on the water and something breaks down, you'll most likely be okay. If you take a cruise into space and something breaks down,
you're in space. No one can hear you scream.
Nope.
Like, you know, that's the scary part about it. Like, that's full on alien.
You have sabacc lessons, then a muster, captain's reception, dinner featuring live music, the Outer Rim regalia.
What is that going to look like? Are they going to have just like a bunch of just like really poor people walk through the ship?
I don't know. The unexpected story moment. So this is where you branch out into that LARPing stuff, bridge training, and then atrium entertainment. So I believe it seems like short bursts of things to do, so you're never going to be bored. I'm sure they don't want people aimlessly wandering around either. They want them engaged with the activities so they can control your experience.
This is cool. So there's different story moments throughout the ship.
Yeah, because they said you're going to be assigned like something when you get there, and that's who you are, and then you can LARP that out with the actors on the ship.
Yeah, so unexpected story moment. For example, you might prove your mettle to join an elite smuggling ring. Hide a stowaway to help the resistance. Like, could you imagine, like, this guy comes up to you and just like puts this data pad on the table and is like, don't give this to anyone, and just walks away?
You know, like, that's what it's like.
But that's the thing, like, in the way they've set this up is like, that's how it could be. Here's another story moment. For example, you might broker a deal for a heist. arranged to steal a ship from the First Order. Like, what? That's so cool.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Breakfast man. The next day. So your day ends at 8:45. So I'm assuming you can go to the lounge after that. And here's why I think they control how many people are on here, because they don't want the lounge to be so crowded like it is in the parks to the point where you can't enjoy yourself and get a drink. So I think they do the control on purpose. So again, you're paying a lot of money for this experience. They want you to get your money's worth. So if you do want to stay up till 11 o'clock and drink, you can.
Yeah. And breakfast is super early. So like day two.
It looks like
park day. And what's neat, and like you said, Kevin, having a smaller group also allows them to get everybody onto rides easily and just like, okay, we've got this block, or they break it up into smaller blocks. Like, hey, we've got 15 people. Here we go. And then so like the guests don't feel cheated, because that just looks like a normal fast pass line when they just cut in front of everybody and they're like, oh, these are fast pass people.
And again, this is perspective, so this can change. This is a sample itinerary on the Disney World website.
I just like how it just like day two flows really cool. I'm just like looking at it. It's like breakfast in the morning, and then you get on the transport shuttle to Batuu, which is literally you walk out of the place into the theme park, which is cool. But they're gonna do just like they do in Rise of the Resistance, where you think you're on this shuttle taking you from the ground to space. And then vice versa, taking you from space back to the ground, which is really cool.
I have a feeling. So you know how Disney employees like scan your pass or your magic band or whatever?
Yeah, of course.
I have a feeling it's going to be First Order troopers scanning you.
Oh, when you get off the ship?
Yeah, like and saying like, move along, you know, scan. I need to see your identicard, like harassing you as you get off the ship and enter Batuu.
Yeah, this is so, I mean, like, again, just so everybody understands like where we are in the timeline as well. We are in episodes between eight and nine.
Yeah.
And so the First Order is at the height of their power. The New Republic has been just demolished. Hasnian Prime has been destroyed. And so, like, I'm still trying to figure out where the heck this cruise ship came from and why they're operating during war. I would love to learn the story of this.
You have to remember, in Force Awakens, the planets, the core worlds are continuing as normal. In the scene where they use the, what the hell is the weapon called? I get all my super weapons mixed up.
We're talking about Ilum?
Starkiller Base.
Starkiller Base?
When they use Starkiller Base to blow, like, the planets are continuing business as usual, even though there's a war going on. Well, it's the same in the original trilogy, too.
But that happened in episode seven. Like, the Hosnian Prime system, like, that's where the New Republic was set up and was, like, essentially was the new Coruscant.
Right.
And so then they blew it up.
But then even in the next one, the casino planet, things are just moving
along.
That
was an Outer Rim territory. The Outer Rim always behaved like that. That was, like... Yeah.
How do you know we're not in Outer Rim? Isn't Batuu in the Outer Rim?
Batuu is in the Outer Rim, but where did this spaceship come from?
It's a Star Cruiser. It's a cruiser.
Yeah, but where is it leaving from? Is it leaving from Coruscant?
Oh,
is it like
that's
what I'm trying
saying.
To figure out. Is like, why is this, like, if we're going, why are we taking this? This is me just being a super Star Wars nerd, and I just wanted to have answers. If we're taking
they'll
this
have an
super
answer for
Star,
you.
Yeah, and that's what I want to ask. I'm like, Captain, where did we come from? So like, you've got the Star Cruiser. And it's leaving the core system. Why would anyone in their right minds want to leave the core worlds and go all the way out to literally to as far as you can possibly go? You have to remember, Batuu is right on the edge of the Outer Rim in unknown space. All of the weird stuff, like the stuff from Thrawn, like they started to encroach on galactic space. And Batuu was a war ground at one point. We had Thrawn and Vader fighting together over the skies of Batuu, fighting against the Grisk. And like, that's the coolest part, is the Grisk were there and they were messing stuff up, and then Thrawn comes by and saves the day at Black Spire Outpost. So it's just like, there's some really cool lore around all of this, but I want to know, why the heck are we going there?
You haven't been to Galaxy's Edge, and for folks who haven't, and for folks who have, you can attest to this. The RP that the Disney employees play along with is impressive. I told you all about when my son was wearing his R2 shirt, and they were telling my son, you know, oh, we've heard of the legendary R2-D2. He, you know, he went adventures with Master Luke Skywalker. He's like, he's a legend, you know, things like that. Even when I was drinking the blue milk and I got it confused with the green milk that Luke drinks, the employee corrected me.
Luke drinks green milk?
When he's in exile on whatever that planet is.
Oh, I thought we were talking about in episode 4. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that stuff was blue.
So they have the blue milk and the green milk. I was drinking the blue milk and I turned to Danielle and I said, this is what Luke is drinking in The Last Jedi. And the employee said, I think you're getting it confused with, and he went through the whole thing. He's like, that's what they serve in the cantinas all around the galaxy, most notably on the cantina at Mos Eisley in Tatooine. Like, he went in full RP, corrected me, and I was like, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
That's so awesome. That's what I want, dude. I want to RP with somebody so hard.
They all do it. They all are so excited to be there working, from my experience. Obviously not the folks in the probably like the dining areas and whatnot, but the ones who work in the lightsabers and the droids and all of that stuff, they play along. Although
I would be really impressed if everybody was RPing. Like, if we literally if our waiter is RPing and the person who turns the beds down is RPing and like all of that, like, I'm gonna be so blown away. And that'll explain why it costs so much, because you are literally in a performance from beginning to end.
So Danielle came back because she went to get food for us, and we grabbed a table, and she comes back and she's like, Kevin, what the fuck is a credit? And I'm laughing because when they told her how much it cost, they were like, that's going to be 24.77 credits. And she was like, I don't have credit. Like, and they were like, you can use your debit card. She wouldn't break character to tell her, like, it's money. Just, we have to say this. Like, that's how.
I can imagine seeing Danielle just being like,
she came back to me.
She's like, credit card? Like, that's
like,
what I have?
She said, credits. Is that like a Star Wars thing? And I'm like, yeah, it actually is. So, you know, you go into the store. I bought the crystals for me and Audrey when we went. Yeah. We got the yellow and white crystals. And, you know, the same thing. I said credits. Which, by the way, there was a guy on TikTok, I sent it to you, who got one of the black.
I saw it. That's dark saber crystals. Dope, dude.
And Audrey's like, Dad, we have to go back and keep buying red crystals till I can get them. And I was like, you need to work a few more hours at Pizza Hut, because I am not drunk down that hole with you.
How much are they?
They're $15 a piece.
I would spend $100, and if I didn't pull it, then that's enough for me. I'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah, no, that's
$100 limit on lightsaber pulls.
15 a change to white was 100% worth it for me. I mean, I go in my closet because it doesn't have any windows, and I just turn that shit on sometimes.
God, you're such a nerd. I would do the same thing. Dude, when I get the darksaber, because that comes next month, I just had that like realization that my darksaber shows up soon.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to freaking just swing the thing around.
I want to see if there's any more Black Series Revan lightsabers, because I want to get one of those from my office.
I missed out on that one. Yeah, I missed out on the pre-orders, but it should be available-ish now.
Yeah, I'm gonna look. I would love to put one in my office for Christmas.
So I feel like this is a nice natural transition for us here on the show. Do you think that was why they put the Revan stuff out first, was to ease us into the announcement of KOTAR?
Yes, so my thought process there is the naming. They know how deep we nerds get into Star Wars. So they knew naming one of the legions from Rise of Skywalker on Exegol, the Revan Legion, would be the first crumb that we needed to follow the breadcrumb trail.
Right, because everyone's like, aha!
Yeah, it's like, he's canon! Like, everyone freaked out. And I'm sure they just nodded and went, aha, we know. And it made a few of, I think, two other Sith canon as well. So that was the first piece. And then they were like, oh, by the way, Black Series is coming out. And everyone's like, whoa, that doesn't mean it's canon. But at the same time, you're like, come on. They're prepping us. They're conditioning us. So, and then you have the game. Now, adhering to the theory that Tim and I came up with the gaming universe might be where the Old Republic lives for now. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is during Celebration next year, which we expected that to be the announcement, but I'm sure that's the first time we'll see gameplay. It's not a foreign concept to think we might see an animated series or something in the Old Republic to go alongside of the release of the game and begin the storytelling in three separate eras of Star Wars at the same time, which is just heaven for a nerd. You know, next year is so huge for nerds because you have Celebration, which is going to come with 2 years worth of pent up not announcing jack shit.
I feel really so frustrated.
And then in September, you have the Amazon Lord of the Rings show. I mean, next year is a prime year, and Galactic Star Cruiser is next year. Prime year for nerds. Prime year. Prime, prime, prime. So I'm excited on that front, and we'll see. Speaking of High Republic,
just real quick, before we move on to High Republic and we talk about all of that, when it comes to Celebration, do you feel like, because we went from the last Celebration that we had was the announcement of Episode 9, we had the Emperor come out and
blow it again.
You know, it's just like all of that. Like we like you said, we came off such a massive high from the last Celebration. Do you think that no matter what, people are going to be disappointed just because they are going to set the expectations so high and that they're just going to be just naturally just disappointed with whatever happens at Celebration? Or do you think people are really just they don't care what it is, as long as they get some crumb of Star Wars announcement, they'll be satisfied?
Both, because there is a large contingency of Star Wars fans that want what they want. And if you don't give them what they want, they cry, bitch, and whine.
Well, sure. I mean, like that's like that everywhere.
Right, so, but it's very prevalent with Star Wars
communities.
So, I mean, I 100% see that being a thing. My biggest thing is I don't care what they're going to announce. I'm excited for new stuff. I'm positive we're going to probably get the release dates in trailers for the Obi-Wan show, the Andor show, the Rogue Squadron movie, probably start to get teasers for things like Acolyte and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's going to be focused on TV, especially because Bob Chapek, he's big on Disney Plus and TV and movies. He's not really a park gaming guy.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, I think we're going to see Jedi Fallen Order 2 teaser. I think we're going to see gameplay from Coder. I think they're going to announce Battlefront 3. I think this is going to be a big celebration. No pun intended. Sure, pun intended. I'm fine with that. And I think it's going to come with that mixed reaction that it always comes with. But at the end of the day, guess what? Uh-huh. They're printing money with Star Wars, and they're going to keep pumping out the content because we keep consuming it.
Yeah.
Because even the people that hate it consume it so they can complain about it.
You're not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong.
You're 100% right.
I know I'm not wrong. So that's my two cents on that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
High Republic. The IDW comics, which I am halfway through, I have not finished, introduced a good old friend of ours. Apparently, in the newest issue, Padawans go to meet our good friend, Maz Kanata.
Dude, how old is she?
Well, she says the castle's been there for 400 years in The Force Awakens.
Did she build the castle with her own hands now? I hope so.
Because
that's
Maz
the vibe that I'm getting.
Maz is a freaking badass.
She is a badass. I'm just surprised that she's been around that long. Like, she's essentially as old as Yoda.
Yeah, and the scene from it is in here. She's with these folks, and there's a baby involved, and I'll let you all read it. So I like the story better in the IDW ones. The Marvel ones are great, but I like the story better in IDW, but the art is such a departure from... The IDW one is a little bit more... visceral compared to the Marvel one.
Okay.
And it's got a little bit more of an edge to it. The Marvel ones are great and they're fun and they are dark, especially with the Drengear. But this one, the only thing I'm not crazy about in comparison to Marvel is the art style.
The art style looks like a high school project.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. It just looks like old cartooning, and there's nothing wrong with that. It definitely feels like they embrace the older style of cartooning, like you would find in like classic Spider-Man or Batman comics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we have to talk. Okay, why does Maz look exactly the same? She looks exactly the same as she did in Episode 7.
She looks a little younger, like slightly, but that also might be the art.
I mean, it might be the art. Like everything about her. Like as soon as I saw her, like I'm literally seeing this for the first time. I need to know more about her as a character because there's a lot of things that are missing now. She's a collector.
The frame with the baby, Tim, she's doing the thing where she focuses her goggles.
Where she turns it? Yeah, I see that. She's like turning her goggle. Uh-huh. He's super cute.
Yep.
But yeah, like, I mean, like, there's so much unknown. We have to go back to the whole, how did she get Luke's lightsaber?
That is the biggest question.
You know, like, there are so many questions about Maz that make just, none of this makes sense. Like, her presence in Star Wars was so abrupt and awkward that they just never, like, she seemed like a really, really important character. And then I was like, okay, cool. They'll explain this story in episode 8.
No.
And we see Maz for, like, 10 seconds, and it's a hologram. It was like they thought about her after the fact. It was like, oh, we should maybe mention her again. And then we don't even really see her in episode 9, right?
I don't think she's in episode 9 at all.
And so it's just really weird that you have this character that knows so much and has seen so much now, apparently. She has been around since the High Republic. She might have been around in the Old Republic. We don't know.
She 100%, Tim, 100% her story will be fleshed out in ancillary content, whether that's animated,
frustrating part.
Books, whatever. We'll figure it out. It can tie well into your theory, though, the clone theory, because if Luke's hand was separated from the lightsaber, you know, the Empire might have got the hand and then somehow Maz got the lightsaber. The problem is,
or she found it and just took it to the Empire as like, maybe she was just on her own. Maybe she was.
She
just
hates
neutral.
The Empire, though, dude.
Well, she hated the Empire in episode 7. I wonder at one point she was working for the Empire. What if she was like a junker or something? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to. I don't understand how she came in possession of, like, literally one of the most important objects in all of Skywalker saga is literally Anakin's lightsaber. Like, that is like, there's so much to that story because the last time we see that lightsaber in Anakin's hand is when he fights Obi-Wan. And so
she knows what she has, too.
She knows exactly what she has. There was no, and that's the craziest part, is that she knows Anakin. She knows who Vader is. She knows who Luke is. Like, personally, like, there is a personal connection there between those two characters. And so for her to have this lightsaber held in her possession for so long in the crypts of her castle, to just like someone just finding it and then her not saying anything about it just seems strange. All of it is just strange. So I'm a little frustrated that they reintroduced her so early into the timeline without flushing out any of the Skywalker saga stuff.
I wish they would have just gone back. Come on.
We're always saying the timelines are just the way they tell the stories are disjointed to then create a full timeline. But when it comes to someone who's so important, like, it's just like Snoke. Like, they never gave Snoke enough time to breathe.
And then you read the
and then you read the
Kylo
comics
comic
and, it's just
and
like,
you were like,
oh my God, like, what? You should have put that in the show.
And it linked to High Republic. It was so much information.
But imagine if you had that aha moment on screen. You know, like, that's the frustrating part, is that they introduce this to the normal, like, just average Star Wars fan in the cinematics, because like that is your entry point. The entry point is always going to be your movies. And so entry point into new trilogy, we introduce two characters. We introduce Snoke and we introduce Maz. Both very, very interesting. And you think, okay, cool. This is the beginning of the trilogy. They're going to flush all their characters out as we go along episodically, right? You get into episode 2. Snoke gets cut in half in like the most underwhelming way possible. And Ma shows up in a hologram for 30 seconds. But then, 2 years later, we then get them reintroduced in a different lens in a comic book. So for me, as someone who's very passionate about Star Wars, that's okay. That's fine. I know that there is an avenue to get the information that I'm looking for. I just have to go through the comics to find it or through the books. But for your basic Star Wars fan, this is where I get frustrated, is because those types of people either don't have the time, the energy, or the want to go looking for this information. And so they find a podcast, or they find, you know, they'll go to Wikipedia or whatever. But like, again, think about how many people went through that and were scratching their head like, I don't get it.
So the other side of that coin, taking the quality of the movies and putting that aside, because I do think they need to improve on that and give more. They have to give people who read the comics and the books meat to be able to do so.
Of course.
And this is one of those probably little token things, like the whole Luke saga that's unfolding and the bounty hunter stories with Boba now. That is something they're giving to folks who search for the ancillary content and don't just go to Wikipedia.
But do you think that it was because they recognized that they had a fuck up and they just instead were like, oh, that's fine. We'll just fix it. But we'll fix it in all of the mediums that not the majority is looking for.
50 to 60% of the way they storytell, I believe, is because they want to either retcon, fix, or change something that they previously put into another piece of content. Or, you know, George Lucas did something, it was dumb, and Filoni's like, all right, we got to make this.
And that's the frustrating part, is like, I feel like as we get older as Star Wars fans, I find myself more and more frustrated. And don't get me wrong, I will forever love this IP. Like, I don't think there's anything that anyone could ever do to make me not love Star Wars. But I'm starting to get more and more frustrated with the way that they're storytelling in all of these different mediums. Like, I'm really, really looking forward to the time when we get to Star Wars and it just feels like it flows well. And I feel like they're starting to get that with the High Republic. I finally feel like in the High Republic, it makes sense because we got the books, we've got the comics, and then we'll get the shows, you know, in a couple of years. And so, like, that will feel like a very, very natural progression. And I'm glad they're finally doing this way. And I feel like I will feel better about it. But, like, the Skywalker saga, they've got to stop. Like, I feel like it's just a hard stop. Like, I feel like they need to stop adding stuff to it. You know, yeah. Like, and then now they're going back and they're fixing all the holes. And it's starting to make sense. But now you're taking Maz and you're reintroducing her so far back into the timeline. It's just, it's hard. Like, it's hard for my brain to just work with it.
Don't worry. When you're in your 60s, it'll all make sense.
I'll probably forget half of this. I don't even know, like, who?
I would hope in your 60s, you're not forgetting all of this.
Who knows?
If I said 90s, I would expect that.
Streamer brain's a real thing, dude.
Oh, Tim, come on.
Who knows?
Tim, 60s, Tim. We'll be enjoying life still. Don't worry. Golden years. We'll be going on Galactic Star Cruiser for the 20th time.
all the people are like, these guys are back again.
Oh, it's them.
These nerds.
It's like, sir, if you could not bring your own costume, that'd be great. Thanks.
Hey, Tim, please stop hanging off the ceiling. Okay, it's not your gym.
Mr. Bowman, you are not a Jedi. Please.
Please stop trying to kill the younglings, Mr. Bowman. Please.
But I brought my own robe.
And this one works.
The other big thing, this comes from dorksideoftheforce.com. And yeah, it's in a bunch
like
of different.
This feels like the Onion of Star Wars.
Yeah, this is a lot going on here. And this is on multiple publications. But Book of Boba Fett. First, as we dive into the rumor, I'm going to read it because it's easier to do that. This latest leak rumor comes from Star Wars News Net, who have gotten a lot of intel recently. Star Wars News Net, 90% of the time, is correct, too. Keep that in mind.
All right.
According to a report from them yesterday, Boba Fett will be, and this is in reference to Book of Boba, will be going up against a Rancor. You know the almighty beast, Luke Skywalker. We all know what a Rancor is. As they know in the report, what's unclear is what Boba Fett, stop it, Tim, is actually doing with the Rancor. They provide their own artistic rendering, which you can find online. Based on what they've heard, though, this is not official concept art from Lucasfilm, but simply a photo they commissioned based on what they've heard. Okay? So this is something that's in the show, rumored, someone made. This is not concept art. Okay. It's all starting to come together. Seeing as Jabba the Hutt apparently is a thing for Rancors. Bad Batch, the team had a mission to deliver a Rancor named Moochie to Jabba. And the Rancor that Luke killed was named Patissa. So did Rancors continue to live on in the Hutt Palace past Jabba's death? I would say yes. Tim?
Yeah. Well, so think about when the Rancor died. And think about the Beastmaster and when he was all sad. Like, I would assume they had more than just one. I highly doubt there was just the one Rancor that was there.
He's in one of the interludes in Aftermath.
He is. He most definitely
wandering
is.
The desert.
Mm-hmm. So
doesn't he run into Cobb Vanth? Or am I mixing two stories?
I think you're mixing a couple things up. Because Cobb Vanth goes and, like, he kicks some ass when he gets the armor. But
yeah, they showed it in the show, too.
And then, well, no, but, like, that part, like, he was, like, he got exiled.
Yeah.
And then he got the armor and then went back and kicked all the, like, essentially how it happened in that episode was how it happened in the book in Aftermath. Like, he did it twice, which was really funny.
Yeah.
But anywho, the idea of having multiple Rancor, like, we saw Jabba and the one Rancor job that they did in the Bad Batch. Like, yeah, that was another one of Jabba's Rancors.
That's not, so, and that was confirmed. That's not the one that dies.
Right, exactly. So it could be this Rancor.
Yeah.
It could be a really fun tie-in from Bad Batch into the Book of Boba with using the same Rancor. And that Rancor was interesting because it was black and it had like a darker gray, like charcoal, and then it had like yellow or like a green, like lines across its face. It was very, very unique looking. It was a really, I don't remember, what was the name of the Rancor? Do you remember?
Moochie.
So it would be really cool if Moochie is the one that Boba is riding through Tatooine. But the idea of a full-size, fully grown Rancor walking through the streets of Tatooine sounds terrifying.
Moochie also acted way different than any other Rancor we had seen with the Bad Batch.
Oh no, okay, so wait, which Rancor am I getting confused with? Wasn't there one that was gray?
No.
Because Moochie's not gray. Moochie's smaller. Moochie's like a tan. There was a black Rancor that I saw at one point. But anyways, if we saw Moochie show up again, that'd be so cool. I would love that. Yeah, Moochie. So this was, yeah, Moochie is an adolescent female Rancor owned by the crime lord Jabba the Hutt. But Moochie wasn't the one that died when Luke fought it.
No, so no, 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 no,
I,
no.
I could totally see Moochie being the Rancor that is walking through the streets of Mos Eisley on Tatooine.
I hope
being controlled by Boba the Fett. And Moochie was a lot different than like how you would expect Rancors to behave. Like, well, Rancors are very territorial, like, at least how she behaved, and she was very territorial. And then as soon as I'm forgetting his name, big guy, he like headbutted Wrecker. When Wrecker headbutted her, then she was very submissive. She was like, ah, okay, you're the dominant person in this relationship. I thought it was really interesting. So I wonder if Boba will have to go into that the same way of like trying to coax her into like being cool with him. That'd be fun.
I'm interested to see, because they said it was based on the description. So this is fighting the Rancor, but I do wonder.
Oh, he's fighting the Rancor. I wonder. Well, I don't know. I don't want to see Moochie die.
The picture. Did you see the picture?
I didn't want to spoil myself. I'll go look at it.
It's literally just a drawing, Tim.
Oh, okay. All right. It's a drawing. All right, let me look at this raw rank.
So, I don't know. Could be Moochie. It looks like Moochie. But, yeah, again, this is someone's drawing based on a description, not on...
Oh, I like the battle plate. I like the battle plate on the chest. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see. But, you know, I'm assuming that him and Fennec are going to go downstairs and be like, oh, there's a Rancor here, too. Bonus. And then have to tame the beast. So we'll see. We will see. I did not get a chance to watch Terrifying Tales because I am currently trying to plow through season 3 of Castlevania so I can talk about that.
But Kevin, isn't that the Lego canon?
Yeah, it's the Lego canon version of
man, I can't wait to see this
Star
one.
Wars Halloween. But I'm going to try and watch it next week with my son and then report back. But that's all the Star Wars news today. I have to go book a trip on the Galactic Star Cruiser for me and my co-host and our other business partner. So that is going to be my morning.
I can't believe we're going to do that.
I'm doing it right now. So thank you so much for all of the support. We love you guys. Thank you for just checking in. We love when you guys tweeted us after you listened to the show and you hear something we got wrong or something that you wanted to chime in on. Tim was having a conversation last week with a few people on a few things. I love it.
Yeah,
I actually missed that
because like that would happen a lot during the live stream, but it's really nice knowing that you guys are listening to like the audio podcast. So thank you for engaging with us. And I know, Kevin, we're going to be working on getting like actual like socials for Star Wars and Scotch.
It's like already been launched. It's just waiting on the marketing plan to come to fruition.
So once we get all that, so you guys just start looking for more updates and more like refreshes going on with Star Wars and Scotch and everything that we're doing here on at Rare Drop.
Yeah, and I know I tease things about, you know, the future of what we want to do, and there is stuff we want to do, but, you know, we're a small team at Rare Drop, so it takes us time to put things together. And now with Mindy running a lot of the ops and the marketing, she wants us to follow plans to the T, so it's not just us off the cuff being like, yeah, we're not
operating like frat boys anymore.
She actually keeps us accountable, and that's refreshing. So when I say things are coming, this morning I was like, Tim, I don't mind saying that. Would you all, and respond to this, would you all be interested on Facebook Gaming on the Rare Drop channel, not on Tim's channel, doing a monthly show with me and Tim called SWTOR and Scotch, where Tim and I do a stream and he plays SWTOR for the first time, just for the story, really. So if you want to join our group and kill things with us, great. But just for the story, because I think Tim would really enjoy the story.
There's going to have to absolutely be Scotch, and I can only have Scotch on cheat meal days. And so that's going to have to be a Friday night. Kevin, are you down to give up your Friday nights
once a month to play Star Wars with you?
To play Star Wars with me and drink alcohol.
I would do that once a month.
And then guys, you know, guys and gals and all of our Twi'leks and Ewoks that listen. And we have to make sure that equal representation here on the Star Wars podcast. So please make sure to tweet at us and let us know if you, an Ewok or a Wookiee, would like to come hang out with Kevin and I and watch us play Star Wars and drink Scotch.
I have an Ewok companion in the game that's really hard to get.
Oh, well, look at you. What a nerd.
Her name's Treek.
Aww.
And she, when you talk to her, she's like, oh, buddy, wait. Oh, hold on. It sounds better if you do this. I also have a Jawa companion.
It's like
that
you have
like
Jules. It's like having your daughter with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of exactly. Like how Jules sounds.
And it's exactly how Jules sounds. Thank you so much for checking out episode 56 of Star Wars and Scotch. Tim and I will be back next week for episode 57. Did you finish the book yet?
I have. Like,
they want to hear our opinion on the book.
I have like 30 minutes left. We talked about the Galactic Star Cruiser, Kevin, for 30 minutes. So I was prepared to talk about the last High Republic
book. Finish the book,
I'm
and
done.
Then I want you to.
I know how it ends. I'm good.
Just finish the book.
I'm done.
Finish the book.
It's done. We'll talk about it next week.
And then start the Lorna D book.
Yeah. No, that's already downloaded. I'm ready to go.
Skip that other one. I couldn't do it.
I'm not
anyway, have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. And as always, may the force be with you.
Punch it, Kevin.
Boom.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.